Daisy.
Daisy.
Midweek Movie Mumblings. Oh yes.
Good morning, slash evening, slash whenever it is that you are actually listening to this, and welcome to Days of Magical Mystery Midweek Movie Mumblings. So exciting, guys. This is the first this is the second episode, technically, which is being uploaded concurrently as a podcast, as well as being aired on CamFM 97.2. I know, we're breaching new boundaries, we're breaking bad with new limits of technology and podcasting, etc. You get what I mean. I'm very excited to record today's episode. We've still got some technical things to iron out, you know, etc., etc., including tragically no longer being able to use our beloved LA Noir beds that we normally have access to on FM radio. But hey, we're going through it. We're sorting everything out. Instead, I've got this very jazzy, quite literally, bed in the background. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you enjoy the rest of today's show, where we'll be talking about a rather eclectic range of films. We'll be starting off with a recent, semi-recent cinema release, We Live in Time, which came out in January here in the UK, on the 1st of January specifically. Then we'll be talking about Ballywater, which is a very small, very indie production from 2022, set in Ireland, which is a word I always find you can't say without putting on an Irish accent, but there you go. And then finally, we'll finally be talking about the wonderful little film Women on a Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, or to say it in Spanish, Mujeres al borde de un ataque de nervios. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, today's show is pre-recorded, which you'll know if you're listening to this in podcast form. But if you are listening to this live as it goes out on 9 a.m. on Wednesday, the 12th of February 2025, you can get in touch with me via the studio inbox. So if you go to the web form at www.camfm.co.uk/player, you can find the little web form box there. Alternatively, if you're listening to this via the podcast or, you know, via catch up in some other mystical magical means, you can email me directly via dmmm@camfm.co.uk. That's dmmm@camfm.co.uk. And whether or not you choose to get in contact today, you absolutely should be following me on Instagram at Days of Magical Mystery Mix, where you can find updates on this show as well as my, you know, other weekly hour long music live show. That's enough adjectives, I think, which is on every Saturday at 6 p.m. And yeah, you can also message me in there, but you know, the other ones are the primary ways of getting in touch, so yeah. Anyway, without further ado and without any more mysterious / miscellaneous mumblings, I don't know if they were particularly mysterious, but oh well. Let's get on with our first film and our first trailer clip for We Live in Time. Okay, enjoy, bye!
Daisy's Magical Mystery Midweek Movie Mumblings on CamFM.
There is something that your daddy and I...
There's something that mummy and me want to...
We want to talk to you about. It's a bit serious, though.
Yeah.
What's happened to my underwear?
Boy, I literally have no idea.
So sorry, but do we know each other?
Yeah, no, I ran you over. Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm Alma, by the way.
Tobias.
We're going to make sure you have the time of your life.
Hi.
Hi. Probably ought to get going.
Who says? Unless you have shit to do, then.
I have nothing.
Whether we like it or not, clock is ticking.
What's the rush?
Because I'm worried that there's a very distinct and real possibility that I am about to fall in love with you.
Hello, I'm back. Did you expect me? I hope so, because, you know, I did say I would be back. But anyway, do you like this little forest bed we've got in the background, by the way? I thought I'd pick this sort of early morning sort of birdsong bed because I really like, you know, the ambiance. And also, you know, this show does normally go out at 9 a.m. In the morning. Yeah, I don't know when else it would go out in the morning. But yeah, it goes out at 9 a.m, so I thought it'd be nice. Anyway, let me know your thoughts on that. We Live in Time. I'm about to let you know my thoughts on this. This is a rom-com to the stars, which itself has quite a few stars in it. Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield among them. It's not really the sort of thing I'd usually go for. People who normally listen to this show will be aware that I'm a big fan of sort of like horror, thriller, you know, very serious art house films, big fan of all of that. And, you know, this isn't, you know, the normal sort of thing I was thinking about, but a lot of people I very much love and respect on my Letterboxd have been raving about this film ever since it came out. So I thought, you know what, okay, fine, let's go and give it a go. It's a hard one, really. I don't want to poo-poo it, first of all, because it is a very sweet and very wholesome film. I'm not going to get into spoilers here. We never do that on this show. Thank you very much. It's very sweet. It's very wholesome. That's not necessarily an amazing thing. It's very sugary sweet, put it that way. I think a lot of people who've seen this film will probably dispute that with me, and they might say, oh, it's a bit more edgy than it actually is. I personally would disagree with that quite strongly. I think it could have had way more edge to it. The subject matter is quite serious. Again, I don't want to give any spoilers away. It's about a couple who have to go through quite a serious medical thing. Spoilers, again, technically two medical things, but anyway, there you go, I'm getting into it. And I felt like, for what it was, it felt like it tiptoed around the subject quite too much for my liking. Quite too much? I don't know. You get what I mean. It felt like it could have gone a lot more into it. It felt like it was being a bit shy about, like, properly delving into the kind of tragedy, the kind of feelings and emotions surrounding that. A lot of it felt very saccharine, and a lot of it felt very posed, for lack of a better word. Like, I didn't believe that the characters would be reacting in the way they were throughout the situations I was being presented with. Maybe that's down to the writing, maybe it's down to the acting. I would probably say more so the writing, because the acting for me was a really strong part of this film, particularly Andrew Garfield, who plays no less an IT person, I think, at Weetabix, as you do. I thought that was a really interesting part. A really interesting part of this film that kind of comes out of nowhere is the high-stakes dining elements of it. So Florence Pugh's character is a sort of upmarket chef, you know, sort of Michelin-starred, Hoojima Flip, that sort of thing. And it turns very The Bear-esque. In that kind of, it's not The Bear-esque, but it high-status kitchen, stress, oh my god, intermixed with the personal troubles of our main characters, that kind of thing. And I thought that was a really interesting aspect. It kind of felt a bit mixed because it didn't want to go. The film was being pulled in two different directions. It didn't want to go fully into that kind of stressful cooking environment, and it didn't want to go fully into like the family drama aspect of it, which is fair enough. I think the strongest part of this film by far, the reason I've sort of not been bringing it up so much, because I do really like it, is the fact that this is a non-linear narrative, as we call it in the biz. Scenes are presented completely out of order. It only really goes back into order towards the end of the film. And I really like that. Love a bit of non-chronological film telling. I remember film studies in year 12, I think it would have been, when I was thinking... No, it was pre-year 12, it was year 11 when I was thinking of doing film studies, and I went to a class, and I remember being so proud of myself because the teacher was like, what's so cool about Pulp Fiction? I said, non-linear storytelling. Oh my god, I felt so clever. Anyway, this film has that. Shout out to the younger daisies currently in their year 12 film studies classes being, you know, smarmy about knowing that this has a non-linear narrative. And I think in this film it works really well. I think sometimes it can come off really annoying. I was really worried at the start of this film it was just going to be like basically a bit of a MacGuffin, like it's just something that's there, doesn't really add anything to the plot. But I feel like for the nature of the film and this idea of like a timeless relationship and how it affects the people involved in it, I think it worked really well. And especially with the message at the end of the film, I really liked it. This film also was directed by John Crowley, who I've not seen any of his films before, I don't think, but he did direct Brooklyn, which is the Cerise Ronan 2015 film, which I believe was very heavily praised when it came out. Again, I haven't seen it myself, but, you know, I'd be very much interested in doing so after this. Again, I think if you're the sort of person who goes for like a sad, if you're the sort of person who absolutely sobbed their eyes out of The Notebook, and I'm not saying that in any way as a insulting thing, like, absolutely go for it, you know, what is a film to do other than to invoke strong emotions in you, hello? If that's the sort of film you really go for, I think you'd really enjoy this film. For me, I think it should have had a bit more bite, I think it should have a bit more impact. It felt very soft, it felt very, like, it could have done so much more. But what was there already? Again, it sounds like I'm being hypercritical of this. That's just to say that what was there already was pretty good. Yeah, it was very serviceable. I enjoyed it for what it was. Yeah, I think on reflection, I'd give this maybe a 6.5 or a 7 out of 10. I'm really against people who are like, oh, 7 is average. If you give something a 7 out of 10, it's average. It's literally not. 5 out of 10 is average. Hello. And I don't think this is average. I think it's above average. You know, B plus, see me after class. for a gold star, that kind of thing. I thought it was good. Didn't make me cry. Everyone was saying it was going to make me cry, and I'm normally someone who sobs at films, and it didn't make me cry. The last film, incidentally, to make me absolutely sob was Queen and Slim. Oh my God. I'm going to need tissues the next time I watch that. But this, going back to the film we're actually talking about, it was okay to summarise, and yeah, I'd recommend it if you're looking for a sort of romantic film to fill your days. Here's another film. It's this.
That froth looks funny.
Well, so do you.
Taxi not more of a fella's job?
Would you not think of doing something easier? I mean, like a wee cleaning job?
Ellie, you are an actual adult, but your brain is minuscule.
If a customer asks for a flat white, that's just a latte with two shots. But if a customer asks for a flat white with one shot, just be like, I would ever and give him a latte.
I don't know how much longer I can have being here.
Oh, well, let us know when you're away back to your new apartment with a south-facing sunroom.
Cracker day.
Tropical.
Listen, I'm going to be up and down here this next couple of weeks. Would I be able to book in advance?
I do have a life.
Don't go squealing, but you can sit in the front.
Right, Ballywater. I really wanted to talk about this because I didn't realise quite how indie of a production it was until I looked it up for this show and did some research. Doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. I know! Can you believe it? I watched this film with my parents when I went home before term started a couple of weeks ago now. And it's really sat with me. It's a really beautiful film. And I want to give it the status and the platform it deserves. That's the word I'm looking for. So anyway. Ballywater, which came out in 2022, directed, by the way, by Prasanna Poo-Wanaraja, who, incidentally, played Martin Bashir in The Crown. I know, how crazy. It was small world, I guess. Anyway, this is a wonderful little film. I saw it on BBC iPlayer. I'm not sure if it's still on there, but I'd recommend seeing it if it is still up there, because I enjoyed it very much. This is a very small little film set in, well, the eponymous Ballywater. It follows a young woman sort of ferrying around people in a taxi as she meets various characters on her journey, and we learn more about them as well as her. It's kind of that kind of, you know, setup, that kind of cute indie, vaguely road trippy. I mean, it's all in the same place. I don't know. You get the vibe. It's, you know, the strumming acoustic guitar in the background of the trailer should have told you everything you needed to know, for example. As I've said, I think this is a really sweet little film. I don't think it gets everything completely right. But then again, so few films do. Am I right? I mean, we can't all be about our boys. Let's be honest. But this is still a very wholesome little film. Although I say wholesome, my parents put this on because my dad found it on iPlayer and he was like, oh, I want to put on like a feel-good thing, because we watched the previous night at White Bear, you know, the Black Mirror episode, and I think it freaked my mum out a bit, so my dad was like, okay, we need to find like a more wholesome thing to watch. And it deals with some very strong subject matter, put it that way. It does not shy away from anything in particular. Oh, sorry, I've got hiccups now. This is a 15, by the way. And if you've listened to the show before, you'll know I'm a big fan of the British Board of Film Classification. I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to things like that. And it definitely earns that 15 rating, let me tell you. Not one to watch with the youngins, I would suggest. This is, I think, an adult slash like older teenager audience, put it that way. But it's still very good. It makes you ponder a lot. It makes you think about things. I don't think it's a similar problem, weirdly enough, with We Live in Time, which is obviously a lot more wholesome and has a lot more of a feel good. I mean, question mark. If you've seen both of the films, you'll get what I mean. Or if you've just seen We Live in Time, you'll get what I mean. It has a much more kind of soft touch, as I mentioned before. This film does not have a soft touch. It's much more, it goes much more in the same direction that I wanted We Live in Time to go in, but I feel like it pulls its punches just a tad short, right? I feel like, I don't know why I feel like that, because it doesn't, on reflection, it's been a couple of weeks since I've seen this film, and I'm still trying to piece together my thoughts on it, which should go to show that it's a good film. But I feel like the fact all of its themes are so kind of thrown everywhere, which I guess makes sense in the plot of the film itself, not giving anything away. The fact that all these elements are just kind of so disparately thrown together makes it feel like none of them have quite that same level of impact that maybe one of these elements would on its own, that sort of thing. So, you know, a personal issue going on with one of our main characters is then followed up by another very serious personal issue going on with another one of our main characters. And it's like you don't quite get the breathing room to consider either one of those character faults. You can't really call them character faults. Character issues, I guess. Threads of character development, I guess, would be a better way of putting it. They don't get the space to breathe, which I thought was a real shame, because I think the way this film handles its setting, the way the film handles its characters in these small, sort of very intimate moments, I think works really well. I mean, you heard a bit of that in the trailer when our main character gets a job at a cafe and it's that sort of flat white conversation. That's really funny. It's really sardonic. It reminded me a lot of... what's the sort of humour it reminded me of? Come on, Daisy. Reminded me a lot of, like, Charlie Kaufman, that kind of humour, like, finding things funny, even in slightly more depressing circumstances. I wouldn't call it dark humour, necessarily. There is quite a lot of dark humour in this. But it's those much more sort of, like, humble, intimate moments where the fact what you're watching is supposed to be funny isn't necessarily commented on, which I really enjoyed. So I would definitely recommend this. I mean, if anything else, just watch it because it's a small film and I always want to champion indie film whenever I get a chance to on this show. And Lord knows we talk about enough like blockbusters and massive great big cinema releases on here already. So with what admittedly limited audience I have, I would really like to champion this film. It is a great one. It's one that makes you think. Whether or not you like it, whether or not you think it's the best thing ever made, it makes you think. And I think that's the most important thing at the end of the day. I mean, if I had to sum up all of my thoughts on it, I'd say it's a good film. I'd give it like a solid 7.5 out of 10. It was not amazing. It didn't, you know, make me rethink my entire life, that kind of thing. And as I say, I wish that the issues that the main characters were given to deal with throughout the film were given a bit more breathing room so that they'd maybe have more impact on me as a viewer. But I think the film did the best it could with its kind of limited budget and limited resources. And I can still think about it very much so to this day. I mean, I'm still thinking about it now as I'm talking to you, like about two or three weeks after seeing it. It's on iPlayer. Give it a watch if you can. I do recommend it. And also, you know, support actors who turned to directing. Martin Bashir from The Crown is the director of this one. So, hey, he did a great job in that. So, you know, of course he does a great job directing as well, I guess. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. That was Ballywater, and our next film comes to us all the way from Spain. Ooh, okay. And it sounds a bit like this. Well, the trailer does anyway. Bye.
It's a romance, but it's not about love. It's a comedy, but not everyone's laughing. It's a place where the one thing you can expect is the unexpected. Women on the verge of a nervous breakdown. A story about women who love men.
Todos estos años te he esperado.
Dime que te hubieras muerto si no vuelvo.
Estaría muerta si no hubieras vuelto.
Women who love to get even. And men who try to get away.
Hello. Well, what an interesting film we have here. First of all, I want to give a big shout out before we get properly into it to Robinson MML Film Society here in Cambridge. If you're a student at the University of Cambridge or ARU, I don't know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind. Hop on over to Robinson College on Mondays. Go to their Instagram, Robinson MML Film Sock, for more details. Because that's where I saw this film being screened. I went to their inaugural screening. The society was founded by a friend of the show, James Clifford, and I have been to two of their screenings so far. It's a good old wholesome time. There's a bar just around the corner, although we do obviously promote responsible drinking here on Cam FM. And yeah, I can't recommend it enough. Come on down. But in the meantime, though, let's talk about their first film, Women on the Verge of the Nervous Breakdown, which I absolutely loved, first and foremost. This is a film from 1988, a Spanish black comedy, no less. I had no idea what this film was about before I went into it. Absolutely nothing. All I knew was the title and that I'd missed a showing of it in my local cinema, and I really wanted to see it, so I went along to the screening. I literally knew absolutely nothing about it. I didn't even know that Antonio Banderas is in this. Shout out to my friend Clay, who's also been on the show before, who, when Antonio Banderas came on, leaned over to me and said, "Is that the guy from Paddington in Peru?" Yes, it is, for the record. It is the guy from Paddington in Peru, and he does a great job here. I only realised it was properly him until like halfway through the film. I was like, oh my god, yes, it's a young Antonio Banderas. Anyway, this film follows a group of characters. Again, I don't want to give too much about this film away because I feel like it's best appreciated when going in completely blind. But it's about a group of women, I mean, as the title suggests, in an apartment. It's set in and around an apartment, though it does change location quite a lot, dealing with various problems. That's all I'm going to say. And it's a fascinatingly strange and quirky little film. And I feel like a lot of people use the word, oh, it's a quirky film, in a kind of rude or a diminutive way. Not at all here. I love weird films. I love quirky art house films. I love films that go completely balls to the walls with colour palette and set design and things like that. And this is absolutely an exemplar case of that. The set design reminded me a lot of, if anyone's seen But I'm a Cheerleader. It's so colourful and bright and childlike. It's really gorgeous to look at. And I think that really works because in a lot of films where it's set in a kind of one location, or if it's, you know, adapted from a screenplay or like a play or something like that, I feel like a lot of the time it can get stagnant. I mean, take, for example, one of my least favourite films released theatrically of the last 10 years, The Whale, don't at me, and the set design. I know the set design is meant to be really boring and basic and, you know, to reflect what's going on in the actual film. But the actual film is miserable enough already. We don't need the additional set design to do that for us. However, this here, this film, it takes place in such a singular location. It's so wonderfully bright and quirky and interesting to look at. There's not a single detail on the set, it feels like, that hasn't been considered very carefully by either the director or the set designers, and it's just so wonderful to see. The actual action and plot of this film is so completely insane. Honestly, the moment I think of like a single part of this film, like a single part of the plot, I'm like, oh yeah, that did actually happen in it. And I just absolutely love that. It's almost magic. It's almost like magical realism. It's kind of like this very strange sense that, I mean, maybe the set design also aids that. It's the sense that what you're seeing is not actually happening. It's a very dreamlike film. You're probably realizing I'm struggling to put it into words, but I let that just be for the record, okay? Let that be a marker of just how much I really enjoyed it. I just thought it was so interesting. Also interesting is the fact that this film was directed by Pedro Almodovar, who you might know as a very famous Spanish director. I don't know why I'm talking about this. You might know him as a very famous Spanish director who directed The Skin I Live In, which I have not seen, but I know of. And it's also Antonio Banderas, which is a rather traumatic, it seems, sort of horror thriller film. I'm very keen to see it. Definitely that's not one you'd want to watch with the family, I don't think. I'm going to see that at some point. I'll review it on here. We can go, maybe we'll do a Pedro Almodovar special. I don't know. Watch this space. But yeah, what can I say? Sorry, I'm getting off track already. I mean, me off track. Can you believe it? I love this film. I don't want to say too much about it. It really is an absolute pleasure to watch, especially in the, please watch it in the original Spanish as well, first and foremost. Like, oh my God, it works so well. Well, obviously it does. It's the native language, all the, you get what I mean. It works really well. You don't want to watch it in a dub. I mean, everyone obviously has been hating on dubs recently with the Squid Game season 2 release and the English dubbing and that not being very good. I don't know, I can't really comment on that because I watched that in Korean, but with Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, please absolutely watch it in Spanish. It's amazing. Just to quote Mark Kermode, as I always do whenever talking about a foreign language film, if you can get over the 1-inch barrier of subtitles. In fact, I think it was Mark Kermode quoting Bong Joon-ho, director of Parasite, but I'm not sure. Anyway, if you can get over the 1-inch barrier of subtitles, there is a world of film available to you. And nowhere is that sentiment quite so well expressed than with Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. In fact, I went along to Robinson MML Film Talk the other day, the next week even, sorry. That's probably what I should... Last week? Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting all of my dates mixed up. We're midway through term now. I'm already losing the plot. I guess you could say I'm a woman on the nerve and yeah, Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. God, I'm so funny. Anyway, I went along the other day to see another film with Robinson MML Film Society, and it was absolutely wonderful in French this time. There was a film this Monday, which was in Russian, which I tragically couldn't go to as I was going to a classics quiz because I'm so cool. But anyway, not to get even further ahead of myself, please give this a watch if you haven't already. Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, 1988. Find it wherever you stream things. I would give it an 8.5 out of 10. Anyway, to credits.
Daisy's Medical Mystery Midweek Movie Mumblings on Cam FM.
Thank you again so much for joining me on yet another episode of Days of Magical Mystery Midweek Movie Mumblings, and our second episode, which is being broadcast concurrently on Cam FM as well as being uploaded as a podcast. How totes exciting is that? We heard, by the way, I heard myself talking as well, but you primarily heard me talk about three films today: We Live in Time from 2024/5, Ballywater from 2022, and Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown from 1988. Just as a reminder, if you want to get in touch with the show, give me feedback, let me know your thoughts on any of the films discussed, and or recommend a film for next week's episode or future episodes, you can do so by hopping on over to your email client of choice, tapping in the email address dmmm@camfm.co.uk, that's dmmm@camfm.co.uk, sending me your message in whatever language you so choose, preferably English or Latin or ancient Greek, because I can actually vaguely read the first two and sort of pre-see the latter. I don't know. Anyway, just send me in a message. I'd love to hear from you. Alternatively though, if email isn't your style, it's a bit too boomery for you, you can hop on over to my Instagram, which you should be following anyway, at Daisy's Magical Mystery Mix, for all updates on both this show, Daisy's Magical Mystery Midweek Movie Mumblings, as well as my live totes exciting broadcasted you get what I mean, show that goes out at 6 p.m. every Saturday, Daisy's Magical Mystery Mix. Not sure what theme we're going to do for this Saturday's episode. Still haven't had a think. I need to have a think about that. I'll get back to you on that. I'm definitely going to play some Saint Etienne, if that sort of, if that perks you up a bit. I don't know. Anyway, with that said though, I will be back next Wednesday for this show, Daisy's Magical Mystery Midweek Movie Mumblings, but you can get all of the updates and all of the lovely news. I'm losing the plot very quickly. You can get all of my very cute graphic design. Hey, that's something. If you go to my Instagram at Daisy Magical Mystery Mix, we'd love to have you. And yeah, all I can say is thanks so much for listening. And yeah, bye.